Thank you very much. Sorry, we didn't have the tape on. Morning. I'm going to call the Tax Conference Committee to order. And what I was thinking, Mr. Chair, is we could work through some provisions that we were talking about as people were leaving the room last night, that I think there were some interest on House conferees to hear some things, and I think Senate conferees to hear some things. I just worked with Representative Rest on a couple of provisions that we want to deal with.
You don't mind. I've been here 10 years. Senator Rest.
Well, did I say it? You know, and I apologize, but you know what?
It's not the way I want to start off this
morning. And, you know, Matt, everybody should know that you know who I sat next to my first day as a freshman on the House floor was Representative Rest. So sometimes when you learn something, it's really hard to unlearn it. And I know you're all former state reps. I don't get the deal, though, honestly. I don't think there's any difference. I mean, really, I don't. So I apologize. I really don't. You know, we all vote on the exact same things. We get paid the same.
Representative, what,
we have the same job.
I'd rather be called Ann.
Okay.
Or
so
just use the term be honorable for all of us.
I could say that. So I apologize to Senator Rest, and I do that, I think, all the time to people. So I apologize to everyone. So Senator Rest and I worked on a couple of provisions this morning, and we thought we could get those moved and hopefully adopted. And then if we could just hear what the spreadsheet is and then recess for a little bit and talk about, you know, so conferees and folks here can talk about kind of what else do we need to do and not recess and go away. Recess and stay around and just work some through some things and come back in again. So we could get all that, this, you know, a lot of things worked through. And then Senator Bach and I know that we're also going to be carrying a provision for helping solve the large budget issue, and I don't know if we have any language from anyone on that yet, so we'll have to talk about that too. So how does that sound, Senator?
I'm sure that's fine.
Okay, so I think if we can just start, we want to talk about the Representative Reinert's study on reciprocity. I don't know the Senate author. Is it Senator Rest? Who is the author?
Saltzman.
Senator Saltzman. And I don't see the commissioner here. We did not want to do the study, but we wanted to try to just put in the partial language. We're carrying the full study, but it's a money item, and I think what we wanted at a minimum to see if we could get in is the partial language that gives the commissioner some ability to do some more negotiation on this issue. And I'm not sure if someone can tell us where on the side-by-side that's at. I don't know. Page 17, section 18 in the House. And page, was it 28?
Page 20, section 28.
Oh, page 20. Okay. Oh, we're in two places. I see. Mr. Chair, did the Senate hear anything on this and just choose not to do them, or what was the thinking? We put them both in where we gave some flexibility to the commissioner, and we also did a study. And I will just be honest and say that, you know, I actually think I've always supported the governor's position on this. I think, you know, to lose $100-something million to make life easier for some filers when we don't do reciprocity with all kinds of states, and I think the governor's call was the right one on that one. But, you know, there are all these legislators who are on borders, and they have some legitimate issues. You know, I didn't want to send the message that meant we were going to just turn that right around again.
Where is the study line?
It's on page 20 on section 28. That study costs money, so we didn't think we could get you to do it.
Madam Chair, I don't believe we even heard the bill in the Senate. It seems to me the revenue estimate on that study was about $330,000 or something, and I mean, I think what we thought is, why study something we're clearly not going to do, and no matter what the results we get back? We don't have $130 million to reinstate a reciprocity agreement. I just felt doing a study led people to believe that somehow, depending on the outcome, we might restore the agreement, and just unrealistic to expect we're going to do that. So it didn't seem to be worth spending some money on a study that, regardless of the outcome, we weren't going to give people the outcome that they wanted, the final outcome they wanted.
Did it again. I'm sorry, Senator Rest?
Funny the second time.
Senator Rest.
I just replay your apology. The flexibility for the, I'm trying to find that again now.
Okay, that was page 17? I'm going to go back.
17.
Page 17. And the commissioner's now here, too, so.
Does the commissioner need
Section 18.
Legislative, our statutory authority to have that additional flexibility? I'm not looking at your actual language, just it says modifies that. Does he actually need that in order to deal with Wisconsin?
I think we thought he did. Commissioner?
Chairman, Senator Rest, we think this is helpful for the department because there's been a longstanding dispute between Wisconsin and Minnesota about whether we have to be reimbursed 100% under the plan or whether. So there's that's a longstanding dispute. We think this clarifies that issue from our side. It gives a stronger standing when we're negotiating with Wisconsin.
So actually, Madam Chair, it's adding to the rigidity of our position with regard to allowing you to insist on 100%. Is that right?
Make sense? Madam Chair, Senator Rest, actually, this would give us more flexibility, we think, under the agreement to negotiate.
Less than 100%.
To get less than 100%. I think there's a general understanding that reciprocity has a cost. And whether Wisconsin was really unwilling to absorb any of that cost. And so that was kind of where the negotiations, one of the issues, the sticking points in negotiation. This would say that we could share that cost between the two states. Say it's $2 or $3 million ongoing costs. We could actually split that cost or negotiate some kind of agreement. I think the current law, we took the position, I think the position was possibly could take, that we had to be reimbursed 100%. Now, I think Wisconsin may never agree to that. And so this would give us some of the ability to say, okay, we're going to both have some skin in the game and share the costs, the ongoing costs associated with the reciprocity agreement, because it's in the best interest of both states. So this is helpful.
Senator, what do you think? Okay with this?
What does it cost?
Well, we're proposing to only do the commissioner flexibility language and not the study, because the study is $330, and we knew you wouldn't do it. So we're looking for part of it. This is Reinert Saltzman. And I think the study would really help. It would give us a lot of information. It's just $330, and then on top of it, you know, you've made the point, Senator Bach, about what the likelihood is of a reversal anyhow.
Well, Madam Chair, what does it give the commissioner that he doesn't have authority to do under current law already?
Commissioner?
Dr. Wilson, I think Dr. Wilson can speak to this.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, when you have reciprocity, there is a net loss in revenue for both states combined because some people pay less tax. So you end up losing net. Minnesota, we have interpreted our statute, our existing statute, to say that Wisconsin must reimburse us 100%. So we must be fully compensated so that Wisconsin would have to bear that loss, which is probably about $3 million, something of that order, net loss on the revenue. The loss comes about because Minnesotans are paying lower taxes. So Wisconsin sort of says, well, why should we reimburse Minnesota for a cut in taxes to Minnesota residents? So you can sort of see why they would have a hard time accepting that. But we have interpreted the current language to say that this is we can only have reciprocity if we are reimbursed 100% so that we're held completely harmless. That has become a controversy. It is a small amount of money relative to the reciprocity payments. This language we simply raise that issue and say, well, I guess to back up, the agreement was, I think the agreement clearly does not do that. The old agreement did not do that. And we had agreed to the agreement, too. But the agreement, the way the calculation was on the agreement, it did not fully compensate us. And so there is this question about what the agreement really should have been. This makes Wisconsin and Minnesota have to solve that issue before a new agreement would be done. I mean, I think that's the best way to think about it, is there's this disagreement, we think, between the law and the old agreement, but Wisconsin doesn't agree on what the interpretation of our law was. It's just one of these issues that's troublesome, and this would give, just tell the commissioner, you've got to settle this once and for all. Which way do you want to do this? And make it part of the agreement so it's not this sort of sore point going forward.
No, I think that, I mean, Dr. Wilson stated it perfectly. There's an argument right now, the previous reciprocity agreement, that it was not in conformity with Minnesota law because we were not getting reimbursed 100% under the agreement. So this would give us the flexibility, as the doctor said, to negotiate that issue.
So, Madam Chair, Commissioner, would give you flexibility to do what the previous agreement had already done.
That's correct. Madam Chair, Senator Bach, that's probably an accurate way of stating it.
So, Madam Chair, kind of to my first point, what new authority are we giving the department?
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, I think the question that came up is that it could have been argued that the reciprocity agreement we were operating under was not in conformity with Minnesota law because we were not requiring Wisconsin under the agreement to reimburse us 100% for our lost tax revenue. And this would say state law no longer requires 100% reimbursement. It requires the two commissioners or the legislature, whoever decides to do it, the commissioners, to negotiate that issue and potentially split the costs. It's about $3 million, as Dr. Wilson said. We could split it 50-50 and each side absorb those costs. Right now, there's an open question whether we have the authority to do that, even though we were, under the current reciprocity agreement, not getting fully reimbursed.
Senator Bach.
Well, Madam Chair, Commissioner, why is it good policy to not get fully reimbursed? Why would that be the right policy?
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, I think, as Dr. Wilson stated, whenever you have a reciprocity agreement of this nature, there's a lost revenue. And the argument for doing the reciprocity agreement is a convenience issue for both residents of both states. So there's issues beyond just revenue issues for why we're entering the reciprocity agreement. Now, I think there's an open question whether the reciprocity agreement is still in the best interest with the changing how we file tax returns today and different issues. Is a reciprocity agreement really necessary as it was 40 years ago when it was first entered into? But it's hard to make the argument that one state should absorb all the costs associated with the reciprocity agreement. If it's at $3 or $4 million, that's small revenue, it's hard to make the argument if both sides are benefiting that just Minnesota should absorb that cost or just Wisconsin should absorb that cost. We think it probably makes sense to have it be a negotiable item in the agreement.
Mr. Chair, does the Senate want to think about this a little bit and bring Reinert and Saltzman down here? I mean, we were trying to, you know, we'd like the study, but we recognize there's a cost, so we thought this would be something for them.
I don't think that's necessary. I just don't think this does anything. But.
Representative Loeffler?
Madam Chair, I actually think it does, because I think there's a strong interest on our side to continue the dialogue with Wisconsin, trying to problem solve here, and if it, you know, creates an opportunity for us to discuss this $3 million and feel like that might be a major stumbling block to looking at the issue, I think we ought to move forward. So I would be comfortable moving the House Article 3, Section 18, which is just the clarifying language related to the negotiating.
So Representative Loeffler moves House Article 3, Section 18. Is that? Senator Squay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, my recollection of this discussion was that part of the problem was in Wisconsin you had to negotiate with the legislature. Has that been resolved, or is this just all kind of discussion that is for naught?
Madam Chair, Senator Scully,
Commissioner,
that was one of the issues when negotiating the agreement, is that they didn't have nearly as much flexibility as we did on our side of the table to negotiate different items. Many of the things had to go back to the legislature to be ratified. And right now, I know there's a couple bills in the Wisconsin legislature to conduct a study and try to get negotiations going again on this issue, but I don't know how the final status of those senators go. Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Wilson just advised me that, in fact, there has been a bill signed by the governor that would authorize a study on Wisconsin.
So, Madam Chair, Commissioner, so there actually could be negotiations with agencies.
Madam Chair, Senator Scully, that is correct. Now, I haven't seen the bill to know if it gave the commissioner in Wisconsin an additional authority to have a little more discretion, a little more flexibility as far as negotiating. But, you know, the prerequisite for I think, bringing reciprocity back is a study, and both states will probably want to conduct their own study. This flexibility language, I think, is an important feature. Even though we're only talking about $3 million or thereabouts, it's been a longstanding point of contention. And adding this flexibility, I think, would bring both parties to the table and additional, you know, just give both sides a little more additional authority to negotiate some kind of middle ground on this. This won't solve the issue that we currently have with Wisconsin. This issue is a $3 million item. There was concerns about whether the methodology that was adopted appropriately and reimbursed us, and the benchmark study hadn't been conducted in many years, the payment delays. So there was other issues out there, but this is one longstanding issue that if you accept Representative Loeffler's motion, would give us an opportunity to negotiate that.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Is there more discussion? Not on the Loeffler motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The motion passes. We want to talk about Representative Liebling's. I don't know what to call it. Let's see. We want to look at tax expenditures going forward. Representative Liebling wanted to begin to get the legislature to have to do something we've been talking about on this side for a while, and I think the governor has now indicated he's moving a little bit that way with the repeal of the low-income motor fuel, and that is to really start taking a look at tax expenditures. Now, as I recall, Representative Liebling started with all of them are going to be sunsetted. And I think the discussion in tax committee, I think the fear, honestly, was that if you just said they're all going to be sunsetted, you're sort of voting for an automatic tax increase. And that was not really her goal. Her goal was reviewal. So what we've got is that all new tax expenditures that are implemented going forward will sunset and be studied. And the precedent here was the jobs bill. We just did two new ones, historical and Angel. They both have sunsets. And therefore, a future legislature will have to decide, are they doing what they said they were, and then renew them. And so I don't know where in the bill it is, and maybe
it is.
Mr. Mike or Ms. Manzi can tell me where that.
It's page 46, Article 11, Section 1, somewhere.
Page 46, Article 11.
Where's the part about new taxes?
Yeah, we're trying to figure this out. To our section one?
It's one, two, and...
One, two, and five?
Article 11, section one. Two and five. Two is an extension to what the department has to include in tax expenditure reports. And
on the floor.
Yep. And there's some very significant costs for that one. And then Section 5 was a one-time study that went with Representative Liebling's bill, and basically it requires the Department of Revenue to do a study and report to the legislature on a process, how to establish a process for reviewing existing tax expenditures, and what type of criteria should be used to review.
Ms. Dalton, you know, now I realize this is a money item, so I think we're going to have to hold it for until we look at the spreadsheet. But I think the big cost is in the jobs part, which was added on the floor.
Does Ms. Templin, or can anyone tell us what the cost would be without the Downey Jobs Amendment, which was, you know, never?
I'll just direct you to the spreadsheet that shows that it's $9,000 on the spreadsheet.
Right.
And then the department also provided a fiscal note of the cost of the study and the additional job requirements. And that is, unless we were, Ms. Cadoon should have the.
This is the fiscal note. This
is. Madam Chair, members of the committee.
And that's on top of 90?
That's basically the 90.
So the rest?
This is the report.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Dr. Wilson?
The study in the, when you pass that in the bill for the study, you listed 90,000, or you appropriated 90,000. Our fiscal note suggests a cost of about 60,000 for the study.
60,000, okay.
The jobs amendment to put that into every study, I think we're carrying about 84,000, 84,500. It would be a very expensive proposition. We don't know if there's a methodology to do that in a useful way. I can speak further about that, but we have some reservations about how workable that is. We would be very willing to address that question in the study if you have the study and not that. I think how to bring in the job impact of tax expenditures and evaluating them, I think, is a very important question. But to just add that requirement into our tax expenditure budget the way it is in the bill, one number for each chapter, I don't think provides useful information.
Senators?
I don't think we're interested in the jobs numbers.
I'll just say, Senator, you know, in the House side, I don't know what happens on the Senate floor when the jobs bill was debated, when the bonding bill was debated. There's a lot of skepticism as members declare, this bill will create 20,000 jobs, or this bill will do 10,000. And that is well-founded. Right. So I think Representative Downey, you know, is right in sort of indicating that, you know, based on what? Okay. And I think if this was added because the tax expenditure process here is sort of to do the same thing, is get us all to question, we're foregoing all kinds of revenue based on what? For what? You know, and the jobs part was an afterthought, but what Representative Liebling's really trying to do is really get at what the committee's been trying to do for a number of years, which is to focus the legislature on that $11 billion that's sitting out there that doesn't get scrutiny, that's sort of off budget, not very transparent. You know, when the finance chairs are cutting, you know, that's not being cut in or looked at. And so the controversy really in the committee was an auto turnoff in 10 years of all of them. We just did going forward because we just thought politically we couldn't get legislators bipartisanly to say, you know, in 10 years we're going to sunset the sales tax exemption on clothing automatically. You know, this would just require a review as new ones come online. Senator Reston.
The one problem I see with that, I mean, I guess I'm fine with that, except I see every single bill that has a tax expenditure in it saying, notwithstanding Minnesota Statutes 3192 sub 2, this tax expenditure does not expire. And, you know, maybe it's okay to do as a caution, but I think, or an expectation in terms of budgeting or the forecast or something, but I get that. People that don't want to do a lot of things with regard to open meeting laws or in my own committee or other issues as well. Well, with regard to setting up task force and working groups, I'll say, because those expire automatically after 3 years and most of them, notwithstanding that requirement, this working group is forever. So I don't have any problem with adopting this, but I'm skeptical about the political will to make sure it happens.
Madam Chair, I don't believe we have the will.
Well, we're going to have to get it.
I think maybe the place to start is with Section 5. And see what the department has to say. I'm not sure that we need Sections 1 and 2.
Okay. Well, so why don't we just hold on that and think about that? Because, you know, if we could clip through some more things before we reset, we hear the spreadsheet and recess a little bit, that's something, that is a cost. I think that's the cost. So if that's okay.
That might actually provide some information.
And then I think Senator Rest, if we can move on. Senator Rest and I met on a couple TIF items. Senator Rest?
Senator, we took into consideration the special circumstances with regard to the City of Ramsey's request and the City of Meadows' request, and we recommend that Wayzata that we just give them an extension of 2 years. To what they requested, which is the house provision. And then the house didn't have anything at all with regard to Ramsey's.
Right.
And so we come up with a proposal that I think speaks to what they really need to get out of the jam there. And I'd ask Mr. Michael just to give a few points. Propose that they allow them to do it. We looked at information from the SLOF about similar, or to the extent that there were similar circumstances in other cities, and this is what we come up with. And I would ask Mr. Michael to explain 3 points that we were willing to make an accommodation.
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think that the proposal would be to do the Senate bill on the first two of the 3 points, which is to deem the blight test has been met, and secondly, to permit them to use the money without regard to the blight correction requirement. On the third point, instead of having a complete permanent exemption from the five-year rule, to reduce that to 10 years, so it would be the five-year rule would be extended to 10 years. And then a fourth point would be added that would prohibit them from using the monies from this district for anything other than the district itself, so there would be no pooling beyond that if it turns out to be more successful and they have extra increments.
Chief Senator Scoy, I think that is a halfway position just tries to tighten up a little bit, but I think that the city should be able to live with that. And I don't know who the
Representative Abler.
So I would recommend that for the
Senate. And the other part of Senator Rest's motion is the Senator Olson and Representative Depke.
On Wayzata.
Can't find a way to get the 3 years on Wayzata.
I think we've got a...
Senate came in at 9. Also came in at what?
None.
Well,
at what? How much, Mr. Michael? 4?
4. Current law is
4.
The general law is 4.
I think Senator Rest...
6.
That's 9.
Oh. Halfway between 4 and 9.
0.
6 and 9.
You don't need halfway. We're giving them the other provisions in the House bill, too.
And talking with them, it seemed like they could make it work with 3.
I don't need any.
We want the project to work. I know Senator Olson really wants
this
project to work.
This works. It's the House bill. Ooh. Mr. Michael, can you clarify the Wayzata provisions then again, that in Senator Rest's motion, and where is it in the bill?
Madam Chair, on the side by side, it's on page 34
34. 18. Okay. I think we said, so it's House position plus 2 years in the Senate. Yeah. That's fine. You guys have 4, they're getting 2. You added them 4.
I added 5.
Right here, on your side-by-side current law. Oh, you added 5.
We added 5.
Is that your motion? Who? What? Okay, so do we? Does everyone understand the motion then? I think it's all on the tape and it's been clarified.
Section 18 of the House bill with the additional delay receipt on the first up to 6 years.
Okay.
Just 2 additional years.
Just 2 additional.
Current law.
Right.
And then the Ramsey provision as explained by Mr. Michael, which is essentially with regard to with those 4 points.
Discussion on those 2 TIF projects. If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The rest of the motion is adopted. I have
Mr. before Mr. the TIF, did you and Representative Rest talk about the pooling provision for market rate housing?
We did not.
Chair had a little interest in that.
Oh, you do? Well, can we work through some other stuff here? I mean,
I thought that was one of the tasks, but it seems like we could do a little something there.
Well, we can talk about that in the break again.
Yes.
But
you would?
But if there's some more things we can move and adopt and get done before we do the spreadsheet, I have, we want to hear from Ms. Cadoon if the assessor language was signed. Do we know about that?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, I did hear the assessor language was signed.
Okay, so can staff tell us the motion to delete that language? We don't need to carry it now. I don't know where it is.
One?
So Representative Coonan moves to reconsider what Ms. Baker just mentioned. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Okay, that passes. We're going to reconsider. And so now Representative Coonan moves to delete the items Ms. Baker just walked through.
Assessor provisions.
All the assessor provisions. Right. And they've been signed into law by the governor somewhere else. Okay, so to take those out, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The motion passes. And then I have similar on taconite, Senator Bach. Do we know about the economic development provisions or something?
The economic development bill was signed, so there's no reason to have to adopt the Senate position there. But there was a provision line item vetoed in that bill, 2.7 cents per ton. And if you remember, those provisions were carried in a number of places. We specified a number of cents per ton and then itemized 40-some projects. Mm-hmm. Well, with the project that was vetoed, that project came out, but now the total cents per ton doesn't work because 2.7 cents went away. So I think we need to make an amendment to that line that specified the cents per ton. And I know council had some language, something to the effect of an amount is appropriated rather than specify the cents per ton, and then it probably would work.
Did we already adopt the taconite provisions? Do we have to reconsider them and change? No, we've never adopted them. Do you want to wait till there's a draft in motion, or do you just want to move it with directing staff?
Council, do you have?
Mr. Chair, what we would do is just amend the newly enacted Chapter 347 and be deleting that provision about 20.757 cents and inserting some of the following amount.
Is that your motion?
Yeah. Ms.
Is everybody
Baker,
comfortable
Baker, that
not
makes sense?
It?
We actually carried that in one of our earlier bills because we kept doing the math of adding all of those point cents up, and it seemed like the sum of the project should be the number.
What did the governor veto, by the way?
The last project put in, I think, for the commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, I think there was two line item vetoes. I think the one was the Mountain Iron, $2 million. I'm trying to recollect.
From the 21st
century. 21st Century Fund, correct. And then the one Senator Bach referenced, the 2.7 cents, which I think equates to 800 and something thousand.
Yeah. I think it was a Virginia hospital.
Virginia hospital appropriation.
Okay, does both Senate Council and the House have that motion? Okay, on Senator Bach's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All say nay. The amendment passes. So that one. I have Representative Marquardt per diem thing. There was a discussion at the end of the room. Are we ready on that, or do we need to talk about that? Or what were we doing there? Was it a spreadsheet issue? What was the concern?
Well, I think the Senate was a little concerned about adding costs to the Senate budget with legislative members.
So just Representative Marquardt, can you just refresh the group where it is? I mean, not necessarily where it is, but what it is, we're talking about.
Madam Chair, it was in Article 2 of our bill, Section 3, dealing with the part about benchmarks. There's a working group, and there's legislators on that working group. The working group's only in effect for like 14, 15 months until something 2012. But at any rate, I would move to eliminate any reference to diems that those legislators would be.
Senator Rust. We adopted it last night.
Hang on, let me get
side by side.
Just
on the side by side, I think.
I'm sorry.
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Bach, we're looking for it on the side by side.
Madam Chair, Representative Marker, I think the Senate Council has a suggestion of some language.
Okay, and where can we first get where it is on the side by side? Page 13, thank you. And Senate Council has a language suggestion. Okay, Senator Rust.
Working groups, and there's always an issue when legislators are appointed to represent the institution, and as opposed to just saying anybody who wants to show up can show up. And Senator Klobuchar has been pretty adamant that when legislators who are appointed by their institution to be on these committees, our working groups, that they are official representatives of their institution, and to deny them the opportunity to request the per diem is disrespectful to their being official representatives of the institution. That doesn't mean they need to request it, but I would be very opposed to saying that they're denied the opportunity to request it. And it's just a matter of institutional integrity.
Is she working on
that? First, I just need to solve
that. But we will change the appointing thing in both of these sections.
Right. We did, Senator Rust, change the appointing authority to the Senate's boilerplate language that chair of the committee on rules or the committee on committees, whatever it is. That's been changed.
Okay, but Senator Klobuchar, when people came before the rules committee with councils on this and groups on that, if they had legislators on that, they said, well, to get rid of the cost, we'll deny them per diem. He said, if they're going to be official representatives from the Senate, they should have the opportunity to request that. And if they're just, there is at least a couple of groups where it just said, they changed it to saying legislators will be informed of the meetings and invited to attend, and the issue of the bill would never arise because they were not official representatives. So
you think about all this?
That gets into murky waters when you start appointing people and then saying they don't even have the opportunity to have the conversation that everybody else would have the opportunity to request under the provision.
So should we leave it as is?
But I think the thought is we'll just kind of leave the language the way we want.
Okay. Yeah. Representative Loeffler.
Yeah. Well, Madam Chair, I was just going to say, I ran into this with another bill from the last week, and what Senator Rust is conveying, it was strongly made its point. We solved it was making it an advisory committee to a legislative commission, and that commission then had the thing. I mean, if it was advisory to, I don't know if that still works, if you made it advisory to the tax committees.
People who are on this, Madam Chair, Representative Barnport, they can use some common sense about what's going on with our budgets and not make the request, but don't deny about the decision.
So just leave it. Yeah. Just leave it yeah. as it is. Yeah. So. Madam Chair and Senator Rest, I mean, it only goes till February 1st, 2012, a lot of it's going to be during sessions. So I don't know if I made a motion, but I'll withdraw the motion.
Okay, thank you. Can we hear, does Senate Counsel or House Research have the $122 million language? Do we know yet, or are we still? No?
Madam Chair.
Ms. Templin?
There are certain
ambiguities
that we need to clarify.
Okay. Okay, so we'll have to do that. Can anyone think of anything else? So, you know, before we quick walk through the spreadsheet for where we're at, then I think we'll recess. Is there anything else on? Okay, can we just hear about the spreadsheet? Do you want to join us at the table? And I don't know if you have copies. I guess I kind of forgot about that part. Oh, okay. I think we want copies, don't we? Kind of.
Yeah.
What do you want to do here? You want to recess first?
I want to recess to get copies.
Okay. We'll recess for 15 minutes. Okay. What else do we have? Anybody?
Spending committees.
Anything else?
You've got to get the money straightened out, but that's
yeah, I'd like you to be in on that conversation.
Get a deal on the PEP side.
But I think a compromise is what you can come up with.
The leverage. So they want to
current law. I don't want to start going down that road. We're coming here for getting outside the levy on this side.
It's not.
It would be easier for you to go down that road.
Sounds good.
Which has the effect of being.
I think we have the 121 spreadsheet, you guys. Figure that out.
So it's an extra 90
people. Novel idea.
So they're shifting school. Other 3% of schools. They have 433 to come, right?
11, I guess.
Shifting 208 more.